But there's a word from the Lord. There's a word from the Lord which can be found in Ecclesiastes, Old Testament book, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll read verses 13 through 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. And again, I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. I pray you see, they look good and they're red and they're black, didn't they? They're red and they're black. Really, Sister Love looked good in her red, didn't she, down there? Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, it reads thus. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do. Hold on right there for a minute. Can you sit in that for a minute? God will judge. Put your name in there. For everything we do, including every secret thing. That's the stuff folk don't see. That's the real you behind closed doors. God's going to judge every secret thing, whether it's good or bad. Not whether it's good or bad to me or you, but in his holiness and his righteousness, is it good or bad in the sight of God? I'm going to encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, bottom line living. Bottom line living. Thank you so much, ushers. So in the world of mathematics, in the field of mathematics and even accounting, there's this tradition of ending a calculation with the bottom line. This is not a math class. I didn't do that well in math, y'all. I thank God I passed math. I made it through. Jazz, I know that's one of your favorites, but I made it out. I made it out all right. I made it out all right. Amen. But think about this for a minute. The vertical form of addition. If we were to take three numbers, let's say 5 plus 5 plus 5, we know we're to draw a line at the bottom of that calculation. And under that calculation, y'all, we have the answer, 20. I'm just checking to make sure y'all listening to me. I'm just checking, that's all. But the bottom line indicates completion. It indicates a final answer, that it's all said and done, and the calculation must come out correct. That's the bottom line. Y'all, if that were accounting, perhaps you would see a double line. In accounting, it means it has been checked, it has been verified, it has been found true and correct. That is the bottom line. In life, we oftentimes, Reverend JC, we just want to get to the bottom line. You've been in a conversation with somebody, and y'all, they just talking. They rambling. They look at me, don't look around. They going on and on. They going through the woods to grandmama's house and around the world, y'all, across the stream in the ocean. And all you doing is sitting there thinking, Lord, get to the bottom. Can you get to the bottom line? What's this all about? Can you give me the final answer? Anybody ever went out to buy an automobile? Lord, help us today. And you get to the salesperson, and man, they show you the car that you want, and you go into the office, and then y'all know the haggling begins. So are you selling or what? The haggling begins. You going back and forth. They get up from their chair, you know, trying to work on the price, and they say, let me go and talk to my manager for a minute. Y'all, they come back with the paperwork. We came back with this amount. You still ain't happy with that amount. What amount do you, will you circle the amount that you want? Will you put your initials right here? If you buy, they go back to the manager. We don't want all that haggling. That's why I love going to dealerships. Well, listen, the price you see on the sticker, that's the price of the car, because we ain't going to haggle on it. We don't like to haggle. We want the bottom line. You in that relationship, and you serious about the thing, and you really want to know from him, you want to know from her, listen, is this thing going to come together or not? I want the bottom line. You want to be with me or not? Take a piece of paper, draw a heart, a red heart, put an arrow through it, say, I love you. This thing gonna last forever. That's what you want in that relationship. When it comes to our health, I don't know, you go to the doctor and they give you these big medical terminology and all of that stuff, and you wonder what's wrong with you, and they send you to this appointment and that appointment. Can't nobody tell you what's wrong. And then you just want the bottom line. What's wrong with me? What am I dealing with here? In life, we want bottom lines, y'all. We want final answers. We want complete calculations. We want the bottom line. When it comes to the meaning of life, have you asked yourself that question in any situation? What's the bottom line here? What's this really all about? What's going on? I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to live right. But listen, right life ain't coming back to me. I'm trying to live for the Lord, y'all. I'm trying to serve him right and all of that, but it's not coming back to me like that. And I wonder, what's the bottom line here? Out of all the life that you be life and living and the success and the fame and all of that, the mountains and the valleys and the hills and the twists and the turns, do you ask yourself, what's the bottom line here? Has life ever seemed to make no sense to you at all? And you've asked a question in your situation, God, can you help me understand what's the bottom line? I think Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes what that bottom line really is. That King Solomon, the preacher, Ecclesiastes, which means the preacher or the teacher of an assembly, that Solomon writes his journal of life. He makes his journal entries. Solomon would say, listen, I've had wisdom. I've been the wisest person in the world. God gave me wisdom. I know a whole lot about a whole lot. That he talks in Ecclesiastes about wealth, having much money, that he was a very, very rich king. That his name was big. He blew up, y'all. He had success. That he knew something. He talks about working under the sun. He talks about wine. He talks about women. Because he had a lot of them too. But after thinking about it, climbing the mountain, every mountain of everything that would satisfy, Solomon comes to this conclusion that the final calculation, the bottom line, y'all, is no satisfaction. That it's all meaningless. It's all like vapor. It's all like smoke. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, it's all futile. That in this sense, life ends in a deficit. Listen, you want a Debbie Downer, read the book of Ecclesiastes. But Solomon comes to this equation, this solution, that God is the divine accountant, y'all. When you total up life, God gives us the final receipt. Ain't no debates about it. That when you stand before God and I stand before God, God has the final receipts. You can't debate with God. When God said, let me roll a beautiful beam. On this day I saw you and you were doing that. Well, God, let me explain some things to you. No debates with God. So we have to ask ourselves the question, how does my life, how does your life add up before God? Listen, brothers and sisters, when everything in life is added up, only a life that fears God, obeys God, and remembers God truly adds up. And I believe it results in a positive. So that says to me that ought to say to us that we have to live our lives with God's bottom line in mind. That we live our lives with the end in mind. All the decisions that you make in your life, all the choices that you make, they should be based upon the bottom line of life. Then the day that you stand before God, this is a serious thing. That we ought to practice bottom line living. So for the next few minutes, I want to challenge us with Solomon's final calculation in hopes that we'll add it to our lives. Solomon might say to us today that if we want life to truly matter, a life that truly adds up in the eyes of God and honors him, you ought to start by calculating first. Calculate this, fearing God. That's what he says in the text. He says that we ought to fear God. That's to keep God in his proper place. So fear mentioned in the text here, it's not really about being this terrified of God. It's not about really hiding from God. It's having a healthy fear of God because God is your creator. The same God that made you is the same God that can take you out. That's what my dad used to say to me. I brought you into this world. and I'll take you out. But never was I well, yes, I was. I was gonna say afraid of, I was scared of my dad. I believe what he said to me. But the Hebrew word here for fear is really about a genuine reverence for God. It's about respect for the Lord. It's about realizing that he's absolutely God by himself. He is the creator of the universe, that he has unchangeable power, that he's a God of justice. That's a big word that's going around today, justice in the world, and so much injustice that we see. No matter how much injustice you see in this world, everybody's got to stand before God one day. And God will make crooked paths straight. He will make mountains low. That God will make everything all right. That all justice is in his hands. Bottom line is we need to have reverence for God. And what does it really look like in our lives? That God is not just some accessory in your life. That he's not some afterthought. That he's not some genie in a bottle that when you need him, you call on him and want him to come quick, fast. It doesn't work like that. That God is not your weekend appointment. I show up for church, I check in, I do my thing, y'all, and I leave church and I'm done. God is not a weekend appointment. That he's not just an emergency contact. That God ought to have his own ringtone. Then when God calls, everybody else is on hold. God is calling. God is speaking, and I'm listening to him. Amen, somebody. That he is Lord. Fear of God means God is not, he's not your consultant. Well, let me check in. Let me just see what he got to say. I might like it. I might not like it. I might do it. I might not do it. That he has final authority in your life, in my life. That we fear God, that we keep God in his proper place. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You don't start life wise until you start life with God and you put God in his rightful place. When God is first, life works best. Amen, somebody. Y'all ain't saying amen. Let me say that again. When God is first, life works. Any witnesses in the house today? Anybody got some testimony when you didn't put God first? And listen, your life was a train wreck. It was. Let me see. In the southern, it was toe up from the flow up. It was just a mess. But when God is first, life works best. When God is first, listen, God can give you a peace that outruns your panic. When we obey God, all other options are out of the way. You know the options that we make, you know, the options we say we have that mess things up. When God is first, listen, his purpose outruns the pressures of life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Anybody ever look at that text really in Matthew chapter 6? That the context is really about worry. It's about being fearful. And people fear a lot of things, y'all. People fear heights. People fear baby girl. They fear spiders. People fear snakes. People fear relationships. Because they've been hurt and wounded, they fear getting close to other people. Because their life was life, and y'all, they check out on life, and they fear a whole lot of things. But when we have these kind of fears have a tendency to control us. But when we fear God, and by fear again, I mean having reverence for God, standing in awe of God, God Almighty, the creator of everything, the God that gave you breath in your body, the God that supplies every one of you. When we stand in fear and reverence of this God, listen, all the other fears can fade away. When we realize that God is large and God is in charge, all these other fears can fade away in our lives. I love that old song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fears are gone. Fearing God, keep God in his proper place. Fear God, stand in awe of God. Fear God, keep him in his proper place. If fearing God is about God being in charge of your life and you putting God in his proper place, then there should be a natural progression of what comes next, what Solomon talks about. He says, that's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God, and then do what, y'all? obey his commandments. Help us today. Help us today in the house today. It's quiet in the house. Obeying God. Live what you say you believe. If you speak a certain thing about God, you believe that God is to be feared, that God is awesome in all of it, that God is to be reverenced, then do what God says do. Live what you say you believe about God. I say, I fear God. I got respect for him. I stand in awe of God. The natural progression then is to obey. Sometimes we don't like that word. But obedience shows whether the word is living in you or if it's just visiting you. You know what I'm talking about is what God said. It's just a fleeting moment. He said that, but I ain't doing that. Is the word of God living in you? Or did you just allow it to visit, to stop by and see what it says? Hey, word of God. Bye. Anybody can quote the Bible, y'all. The devil can quote scripture. That talk is cheap, but obedience is costly, but it's worth it. It's worth it when you obey God. It's worth it when you follow his commandment. Life works better, listen, when you obey his word. I'm a believer, y'all. I'm a living testimony. Life works better when you obey God. It's worth it. Obey God. James chapter 1, verse 22 says this. Do not merely listen to the word. You got to do what it says. Y'all, we live in a culture full of spiritual opinions, but short on spiritual follow through. A lot of people talk about the word of God. They speak the word of God. But do we do what the word of God says? I'm glad that I'm in the congregation and the assembly, the company of people that do what God says for you to do. When we don't do it, y'all, I call it the struggle of duplicity. On one hand, I say this about God. I believe this about God and his word. I know what he says, but on the other hand, I'm going to do something totally, totally different. We live in duplicity. I don't mean to hit anybody, but I don't mean to miss you either. That when it comes to obedience to God, we cannot live in duplicity. That what God says, when God speaks into your life about a particular thing, stop and just obey God. Because delayed obedience is just disobedience wearing church clothes. Y'all know how we show up for church. We be looking good, don't we? Losing a couple of pounds, y'all. Sue's still getting light. We looking real good. But we can look real good on the outside. We can look all churchy and everything, but not obey God. Not listen to his voice. Obedience does not mean perfection. It means submission. I'm not perfect, nor are you. But when it comes to the word of God, when God speaks into my life, when God speaks from his word, I want to obey God. I want to submit to God. It means when God speaks that we adjust. We don't argue. How many people argue with God? God, I heard what you said, but I don't like that. Now, we don't say it verbally, but we say it with our life and our lifestyle. God, I know what it says, but I'm going to do this. Obeying God, that we live what we say we believe. Yeah, y'all, there are people who say, I believe God, but they won't even forgive. I believe God, but they're unlovable. They always mean and nasty. I believe God, but they talking about people running other folk down, judging people, but I believe God. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. That I believe God, but I won't follow God. I won't honor God by obeying him. That we have to honor God. What area of your life may God be saying, listen, here's this one thing I need from you. I'm asking you to do, but you won't do it. Anybody remember the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19? That this young dude comes up to Jesus saying, Reverend Dr. Jesus, I want to know, listen, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus lowers a boom on me. He said, number one, listen, you don't call nobody good, anybody good but God. You don't know me like that. Back up off of me. Give me 50 feet. But then Jesus begins to rattle off, the commandments. Listen, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. honor your mother and your father, all these commandments that have to do with our relationships with other people. But he was proud, y'all, proud as a peacock. I guess he was sticking his chest out. Reverend Dr. Jesus, listen, I did all that. I'm the anointed, but I did all of that stuff. I'm good in that area. Yeah, Jesus said, yeah, right. But this, he said, but you lack this one thing. Sell everything you got and come follow me. Y'all know the story that the young man went away sad because he had many riches. The moral of the story, what's the one thing that God may be asking you to do? What's the one area of your life he's asking you to obey? He's asking you to give in. He's asking you to submit, but you're refusing to submit. And so if we're going to live life with a bottom line in mind, we're to obey God. That we're to live what we say we believe about God. Okay, there ain't the popos coming, y'all. We good. They shut it off. Belief without obedience creates spiritual contradiction. So why does obedience matter so much? Why does it matter to God? Do you think God is just some God up there that's arbitrarily coming up with stuff for you? Well, let me make up some rules and see if they're going to do it. And when we fail, he's just laughing at us. That's not kind of God we serve. It matters to God because he's God. It matters to God because we are his creation. It matters to God because he saved us. It matters to God because we say that he is Lord of our lives, that he's Savior. But I believe it matters to God, too, because there's more to life than what we see right now. And the thing that causes us oftentimes not to obey God, not to do what we say we believe about God, because we see so much. Well, they doing it so I can do it. But God, I did it your way, but your way don't seem to be working in my life. I'm obeying you. I'm trusting you. But things have gone sideways. Things have gone twisted, God. I don't understand this. That we're to obey God, to live what you say you believe about God. But here's the final thing. In this whole equation, we're to remember God. That we're to live with the end in mind. Listen to what the text says. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's bad. The Solomon reminds us today that life is not random and history does not go unresolved. There's a day when God balances the books. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ one day. When you stand before him, what will you say? When you stand before the God of the universe, this awesome God who's to be reverenced, to be praised, what will you say to him? Because God judges not just our actions, he judges our motives. What's in your heart? That he judges what's behind the scene. That what you do you do it in his name? Do you do it for his glory? Or do you do it in your name? Do you do it for money? Do you do it for status? Do you do it for some other reason? But no, he's going to judge every one of us. And what will we say when we stand before him? The bottom line, when I read this text, y'all, it makes me gulp, to swallow hard. Not just the lights that make me sweat. When I read this text, it makes me sweat. Because God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. And if God had to judge Kevin Love based on Kevin Love, it'd be a bad situation. Then when you add up the calculation, when you subtract and you divide everything, I'm going to come up with a deficit. When you do some Jethro math, naught plus naught equals naught, it's going to come up naught, y'all. It's going to come up real bad. The only way we make it through God's judgment after all this calculation, good and bad, is Jesus. Let me get to the bottom line. That it's because of Jesus, y'all. Isaiah said it best. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, for chastising my people. By his stripes, we're healed. That the only way we make it with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ, what he did at Calvary's cross for you. We got to shout about that, y'all. I thank God for Jesus, y'all. I thank God for Jesus. I think he came, he died for me, but got up 3 days later with all power in his hands. Bottom line, the only way we make it is through Jesus, so we remember God. Live with the end in mind. Keep in mind that We don't obey to be saved. That doesn't save you. You're saved by the grace of God that came through Jesus Christ. It's through faith in him. But those who put their faith in him will stand at one judgment seat one day, and God will judge them, but God will see Jesus and God will see the blood. And you'll be rewarded for the things that you have done in this. You'll receive some rewards. Some folk gonna receive more rewards than other folk. So some folk gotta just shout because, listen, you got the smell of smoke on you, but you still here, you still gonna make it in. But I need y'all to hear me this morning. Those that don't put faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins will stand before God in judgment, another judgment, and they'll be condemned to eternal separation from God and spend eternity in torment. Now, we don't like this part, but it's the true part. Either you'll spend eternity with him or not. The bottom line this morning is you have to make that decision, and I hope you've made the decision to follow Jesus. I hope you've made the decision to give your heart to Jesus. So you have to live. I'm talking live with the end in mind. Because, y'all, we can live our lives like we just writing sticky notes every day, some temporary stuff. But you better believe that God is keeping some receipts. God is keeping receipts on you. God has got the receipts on me. That God is keeping all of the receipts, and we have to answer to him. What you whisper in private, God hears. You put it on a sticky note, but God said, no, I'm putting it on a receipt. It's a permanent receipt. That listen, you can fool people, that we can manage our appearances, that we can create this image of something that we are not, as in the social media world, all this that we are not. But you can't edit God's ledger. God is keeping, God is writing it all down. And one day you and I will stand before him. What matters most, y'all, is what lasts longest. I think Solomon would say to us this morning, listen, we can live for the temporary. We can live for the success. We can live for the titles. We can live for fame. We can live for the money. We can live for the big bank accounts, the nice cars and the nice house. We can live for that. That's temporary. All of that will pass away. Or we can live for eternity. We can live for what will last forever. That's the bottom line. The bottom line, Solomon says, fear God. That we're to honor him. That we're to obey him and to follow him. We're to remember God because he is the great judge. One day we will stand before him and you're going to have to answer. When people live like they don't know God, like any of that matters, listen, the bottom line is it results in devastation. Let me close with this. When it comes to life, the real is sometimes it seems like what we say in this world, young people, the math just ain't mathing. That it suddenly doesn't seem to add up. That you look around you and rich folk getting richer and poor people are getting poorer. Like they can't catch a break. That you work hard and sometimes you feel like you have nothing to show for it. When are they gonna raise the minimum wage, y'all? A working wage where folk can really make it in this world, y'all, where the rich folk look down at everybody else, but they're billionaires and you're working hard and you're trying to make things add up and it doesn't add. Two folk working in a household. It doesn't seem to add up. That you go to church, you serve God, but hate is in your household. You try to treat people right, but people keep treating you wrong. You try to serve God with your whole heart, but people try to snatch your heart. Did you give Tyrone the best of your life, but he gives you the stress of life. Life, you live like you're healthy and strong, but you got all the itises. You try to eat right and exercise, but it look like every time you go to the doctor, he done added something to your report. You got another itis. You got another ailment. That you give so much. You give so much. You give so much, but sometimes you feel like you get so little in return. It seems like the math is not mathing. That you worship God with your whole heart. People even think that you're weird, that you're a social outcast, but you give God your all. But I can tell you, don't miscalculate. That things are not as they appear in this life. That Solomon said, listen, there is a bottom line. There is a time when all the calculations will come and God's gonna judge it all. True prosperity lives in a relationship with God and his son Jesus, and God's justice will prevail in the end. Again, I say appearances can be deceiving, but we got to trust God, y'all. Trust God for his ultimate goodness. Trust God for his power. Just keep fearing, keep obeying, and keep remembering God. The math seems like it's not working right now, but keep on calculating. When God gets through adding and dividing and subtracting and multiplying, what does it look like? It looks like Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are the called. It's gonna work out, y'all. It's gonna work out. The math will math. The math will math. The final calculation of life in Christ says this. When you obey him, listen, that equals the fact that God's gonna give you his peace. That when you reverence God, when you stand in awe of God, it equals God's reward. The rewards are coming. That when you're faithful to God, God is faithful to you and God will be fruitful. God will pour out his blessings on you and me. But let the math math, let God's math always math. I think about Job in the Old Testament, that he was faithful to God, but God gave him double for his trouble. I think about Joseph in the Old Testament, he was faithful to God. And he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It worked out for him, that God's math, it worked out. I think about David's faithfulness to God. David, the giant killer, who became a king, the math for him. I think about Daniel's faith, he didn't get eaten by a lion, y'all. The math worked for him, and God elevated him. And you need to know that today. God wants to elevate you and bless you, but you got to keep the bottom line in mind. No matter what your life looks like, no matter what you're going through, keep the bottom line in mind. God always has the bottom line, y'all. You're waiting on the bottom line, but God's got the bottom line. Jesus is faithful, y'all. And the bottom line of a life in him is my salvation, my deliverance, my joy, my healing. He's got the bottom line. And here's what I love about him, that when I stand before God in that great day, and he judges all things, that I can stand in confidence and boldness and joy in that judgment, because at the bottom of the line, there's Jesus in my life. Can you praise God for the bottom line? Don't worry, don't be depressed. Don't be down and out. He's got the bottom line, y'all. That he's gonna bring it all together. He's gonna work it all together for your good and my good. He's got the bottom line in mind. Live with the bottom line in mind. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, keep the bottom line in mind. When you live God's way, no matter what it looks like or feels like, when you do it God's way, it's gonna always bring God's best, because God's math is always, it's always mathing. And that's the bottom line. All glory to God. Give God praise in the house today. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were just talking about the world in which we live and all this taking place. And if you're not careful, you get caught up in this stuff, you know. You listen to too much news, look at too much, you can get caught up in this mess. But we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We have to keep our eyes focused on him and not necessarily this world. And to know that he had the bottom line, that all things will work together for our, but we have to believe that and to know that. Perhaps you're here today and you say, preacher, I think you were talking to me. It'd be God talking to you. That you've lived your life on your own terms. That you tried to climb every mountain that you think would satisfy you. That you tried it all. Work in that successful job with those titles, the big bank. That you, maybe you're like Solomon, you did the wine and the women, but that didn't work either. That you've been searching and you've been searching for something to satisfy you. Only Jesus satisfies. Only a relationship with Jesus, it really satisfies. And everything else in life, it fades away. That the bottom line of your life and my life as a believer, it's about following him. It's about obeying him. It's about remembering him. And I know when I do that, everything will work out for my best, for my highest good. Perhaps you're here today, and maybe you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what it all boils down to. This is the bottom line to this sermon today. That if you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, you need to be in one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does that mean? It means that God sent his son for you and for me. And we admit that we are sinners. He sent him for a reason. That we sin and we fall short of his best. We fall short of his holiness. We fall short of him. We miss the target. But we come to this place where we believe in Jesus, the one that God sent from heaven. Isaiah said it best again, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, by his stripes we are healed. When we believe in this Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, who healed the sick and raised the dead, who came alive again after 3 days, we believe in this Jesus. We confess him with our mouths. We believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we're saved, y'all. That settles it. Do we have any saved folk in the house today? You know you're saved. That he saved you. That I believe in this Jesus. The Jesus, and he saved my life. That's the bottom line. And then the bottom line of my life, I live for him forever, forever, until he takes me home. That I live my life for him. So if you're here today, and maybe you're believing for the first time, maybe you're here today and you're a born-again believer, looking to connect with a church somewhere. We believe Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. It's a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. That we're not a perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. We serve a God that's able to save us through Jesus. So if you're here today believing for the first time, already a born-again believer, our ushers have their hands extended. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this moment. God, we admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We missed the target. That there's none good, no, not one. But God, you sent your son Jesus into the world to die for my sins. The wages of sin is death. It's eternal separation from you. But the gift of God, not the work that I do, but the gift from God, is eternal life through Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts right now that they might believe, they might see, and they might believe. Confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Believe in their hearts that you raised him from the dead. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Do your mighty work in the hearts of people right now in this very moment, whether in this building or online. Do what only you can do as we submit to you. For those of us that are already saved, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you and we praise you. We thank you and we praise you for salvation. Father, we thank you for Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.